when this is going to go up, but we have a little holiday treat for you.
I'm going to put this up tonight as we record it because emergency podcast time.
It is emergency podcast time. I do want to edit some things in, though, so I don't know about tonight. Maybe this weekend. But hello, we have a special post-Thanksgiving, pre-Christmas holiday treat for you all. We're going to take... I was going to say we're taking a break from Gravity Falls, but that's kind of always what we do.
Our default state is now break from Gravity Falls.
Our
but
default
hey,
state
what better
is...
to spend this break than Vacay Island?
True. Our default state is hasn't uploaded in 6 months, but we're gonna take a break from Disney in general, and we're going to talk about Trolls Band Together.
Yay!
Get hype!
Can you tell I've been sick? Because I've been sick. But you know what? I just watched Trolls 2 World Tour, and then I went to a theater because I thought that I would be able to watch Trolls Band Together on streaming, but nope, they didn't release it like that this time. So I drove to a theater, watched the movie, drove immediately back here, and now I'm in a better place.
Kind of fucked up that they're talking about space when Lance Bass is right there. You know, trigger him. Said you were the only person in the theater. Messaged me throughout. And the last message before you left the theater was, they kissed NSYNC! Ah!
Yes, I did say that. Because those things happen within like 5 minutes of each other at the end of the movie. Like
they do. They happen in very quick succession.
I will be honest. If I didn't already know NSYNC,
hi, we're NSYNC
was going to be appearing in this movie, I would have recognized them by the troll personas that have been around the internet in promotion for this movie. But yeah, I was like, and you know what? They called the band Kismet, which I know as an NSYNC fan is one of the names they were going to call them in call the band before Lance's mom changed history.
Oh, I didn't know that they like had a name in universe, a band name. I thought it was just, oh, that's NSYNC, but we're not literally gonna say it. We will get to them though. Let's talk about our thoughts about literally every other aspect of this movie, because there is a lot to talk about.
Okay, first let's lightning round Trolls World Tour, because as I said before, I saw that film this afternoon.
AJ saw it for the first time today, yeah.
For the first time, and then immediately got in my car.
Immediately went to see.
Yeah.
I was not expecting you, when you said it wasn't on Peacock, I expected you to be like, okay, let's hold off for a couple of days. I did not expect you to say like, okay, there's a showing in like 45 minutes, I'll just go right now.
Nah, I'm that kind of person. Like, when I say it, I commit to the bit. Like, hard. Like, when I say that we were gonna record, I'm gonna push through hell or high water to make it happen. And I did.
That's been me since the trailer for this movie came out in, like, March. I've just been like, we have to do an episode. I have to make Charlie see it. And, like, I just... That's been my mode for this entire year, pretty much. I'm like,
yeah,
I can't stop now. I just can't.
Yeah,
I can't stop the feeling, AJ.
We're in way too deep.
I'm in too deep.
A month ago? Like, a few weeks ago that you finally showed me the first movie for the first time?
Yeah, probably a month or two ago. And then we always meant to watch Trolls World Tour, but we could never get the audio to work. And I've already seen it a couple of times. It's similar to our regular podcast in that I have seen this a couple of times now and you're seeing it for the first time. Because I saw the movie in theaters twice. I saw an advanced screening about 3 weeks ago with my other friends. And then 2 weeks later, went up to visit Charlie. We saw the concert experience screening, and I still have my wristband. I kept it so I could wear it for this recording. It doesn't light up anymore, which is
sad.
Weird, because it wouldn't stop lighting up for like 12 hours after we saw the movie. We saw it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and like well into the night, I could see it in my purse just blinking.
DreamWorks wanted to keep you in the better place for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Even when it was the place where you vomited.
I didn't vomit.
That everybody knows of.
Okay, here's the story. So the cheapest screening was the concert experience, which like comes with a little wristband that lights up. And like the advertisement was like, it lights up along with the movie. It's like an interactive thing. And then like the announcement right before the movie started was this British guy saying, like, just giving instructions on how to use the wristband. It's, and like, one thing he said was like, Branch would like to remind you all to please adjust your own wristband before helping others. I'm like, well, are they oxygen masks? Do we need them to live? But like, it's also just weird that he so flatly said, like, Branch would like to remind you all. And the rest of the rules just came straight from him. And I'm like, you didn't have to, you could just say, put your own wristband on before helping others. You don't have to say that you're relaying this information from a fictional character. I get that there's a lot of kids here. But the idea was like, oh, when it lights up, the kids can like get up and dance. So I thought it was just going to light up like during the songs. It was lighting up like every 5 seconds. Just during exchanges of dialogue for no reason. It was so confusing. So that Charlie was next to me. They had scratched their cornea a couple weeks ago. And yeah. So the constant blinking of all these wristbands, it was a pretty packed theater, plus all the colors and movement happening on the screen gave them sensory overload. And at one point, like halfway through the movie, they just didn't say a word because we were in a movie theater, but they just walked out. They looked fine. So I think like, okay, they're going to the bathroom. She doesn't come back for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, did she just give up on the entire movie? Can she like not stand it anymore? But she came back eventually toward the third act. And then afterwards, she was like, yeah, my body couldn't take it, and I had to run to the bathroom and throw up. Here's a bowl in
case you throw. Oh, no.
So that's the story behind the thing that I posted on Twitter the other night, which is what I wanted to do was put it on a t-shirt and send it to them. But it just wouldn't have worked with like them living overseas and like the cost of it. And they're like, I wouldn't wear it. So there's no point in you spending the money. So I just posted it on Twitter and I tagged them. And then I also tagged Walt Dorn in the picture. He doesn't use social media anymore, but I don't know. Maybe he'll see it.
Oh, man. So that's how the truth comes out. And after doing a podcast for 3 years?
Almost.
2 years? You'd
two and
think
a half,
you'd be able to open up to me like this.
You're right. You're right.
I'm disappointed.
Oh, would you look at the time? We got to talk about the beginning of this movie. We haven't said anything about the setup or the plot, aside from the fact that NSYNC is in it very briefly. So
Branch was in a boy band.
Branch was in a boy band, much like his voice actor Justin Timberlake. You guys might not know this. He was also in a boy band.
He was?
I know. It's so weird.
Yeah, they might have sold like, I don't know, 20 million records back in 2000. Nothing special.
Maybe. I was at Target and I was looking at the vinyl and they had the NSYNC Christmas album and it was like layered in front of another copy and it made it look like for a second that there was like a sixth member. I was like, wait, was there a sixth one that I forgot about? But it was just Lance Bass next to Lance Bass. But that's so funny to me if they just cloned Lance Bass or just like had him on the cover twice for some reason.
Lou Pearlman says he was the sixth member, but we don't talk about him anymore.
We don't. We just do not. So the voice cast, speaking of voice actors, the voice cast for this is like really solid. I don't know why that surprises me. I feel like DreamWorks, like every animation studio does this, but DreamWorks is kind of notorious for it. It's like getting celebrities, whether they're going to give a good performance or not. They've been pretty good in these movies. But like this one, I was like almost worried about because I'm like, okay, Kid Cudi, I know, can at least act in live action. I've seen X. Camila Cabello, I'm not too sure about, but she was like good in this. She gave a good voice performance, which I was not
all great
expecting. Yeah, this is a solid voice cast. Like they mostly, I wasn't crazy about Amy Schumer. Maybe I was just distracted because I don't like her as a person, but she seemed to stand out as not being quite as good as the rest of the voice actors. Charlie thought she did pretty good.
She did pretty good. I mean, she got the point across as a petulant, fame-obsessed, probably chronically online teenager.
Probably. I love that the crew described this place, it's called Mount Regis, as being entirely populated by teenagers, because I'm just looking at it, I'm like, teenagers don't look like that. Yeah. It's funny that you describe them as, like, wacky, flailing, inflatable arm tube men. I was getting Betty Spaghetti.
Betty Spaghetti. I've not heard of that.
They're these dolls. They were popular in, like, the 90s and 2000s. I know my sister had one. They just got, like, new
well, that
arms.
Makes sense why they would do the reference. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's spitting image right there.
They're Betty's Spaghettis. Yep. So that's I wouldn't be surprised crazy. if that was an influence, if not a direct just ripoff of Betty Spaghetti. And then there's Muppet Sneetches, which, like, I just got used to the trolls. You can't tell me there are Muppet Sneetches in their world and, like, not expect me to have some questions.
There were, like, three or four, like, semi-real-life reminder crossovers in this movie / references that I was like, man, I can't believe they did that. Yeah, I got Sesame Street vibes from the people on VK Island.
Charlie and I described them as...
What did I say? Oh, Dr. Seuss Island. That was
Dr.
my first
Dr. Seuss
thought.
Islands of Adventure. Charlie and I called them Muppet Sneetches. They've got yarn hair. They look like they're made of felt. It's hilarious.
They look
to
like
me.
Who's?
No, I guess they do look like Who's.
They look exactly
hilarious.
Like Who's.
But it's hilarious to me that David Diggs' character is married to one and has, like, five children that are huge. They're all super, super tall compared to the trolls.
Oh, yeah. They make it work.
We don't even know how it works. I'm kidding.
I knew he was going to do a good job because, you know, David Diggs. He's been in Hamilton. He's fantastic. He's amazing. Eric Andre was kind of the turn I wasn't quite expecting. I think he's did great.
He's good in this. He's giving great divorced dad energy. No one really wants to hear from him. No one's really interested in seeing him, but they're interested in but they want to see the rest of their family. They're very happy to see their other brothers. But this guy, they're just like, oh, you suck so much.
He's the reason, spoiler alert, he's the reason they broke up the band.
Basically, yeah, they were all sick of taking his shit. There's
so,
a part
such a
like,
pick me.
Oh, for sure. But there's like basically all the Trolls movies open with like prologue, short scene establishing kind of where the characters are now, then medley of pop songs.
That is how it works. Yeah.
The prologue in this one is when Branch is a baby and they've got this 90s style boy band called, what was it? Brozone. I can't believe I forgot, but it's Brozone, which sounds more real than Boyzone, which is the real boy band that does exist. and yeah, so they're putting on a concert and they're trying to, Eric Andre's character is all about hitting the perfect family harmony because there's like this legend that if you hit it, it can shatter diamonds. And it's this great thing. And he says, like, if we can't hit it, we are nothing. And, somebody like brings up like, what if we don't hit it tonight? And he turns around with like the most terrifying look on his face and says, oh, that's not an option. I'm like, what are you going to do? Are you going to kill your brothers, man?
Nah, he's just going to ditch them, go hiking and leave them all to be eaten by the media, because that's a fate worse than death right there.
It is. It really is. So they all immediately abandoned their baby brother, which granted, they all seem to be adults. It would be normal for them to, like, move out, and the child is raised by the parent figure, in this case, their grandma, who ultimately was killed by singing.
Why not? Why won't you sing?
Because singing killed my grandma, okay?
Yeah.
He brought back Glozell.
And somehow they
line.
All didn't know until like 2/3 of the way into the movie, and that's another one of the Discord messages I sent you.
It is.
Way to finally break it to the Branch.
So this one, World Tour, was really very much a standalone sequel. You really didn't need to see the first one to understand what was going on.
Plus, they recapped it in the beginning, like you said.
They recapped, like, the important stuff that you would need to know.
Yeah.
This one really is not a standalone sequel. It's really kind of need to have seen both movies to get what's going on. Because, like, I was visiting two of my friends in a different city, and we had World Tour on while we were getting ready to go out and see another movie. And at the very end, Bridget and Gristle make a cameo,
Yeah,
and so,
they
like,
crash
they
the
have
party.
A joke and then end of the movie. Yeah. And so, like, I had told my friends, like, yeah, you don't need to have seen the first movie. And then that happened. And in order to explain who those characters were, I had to recap the entire plot in more detail of the first movie. And so we watched it that night. And then we watched the holiday specials and had a good time. And then they're the ones who came up to visit and we saw the advanced screening. So that
yeah,
was very
it's kind
fun,
of important that you remember for this movie that the trolls and the Bergens used to be mortal enemies. They used to
they
be
did.
Predator and prey, and now they're friends.
Yeah, basically, what I kept saying to AJ when we watched the first movie is that it wasn't technically genocide. It wasn't good. It was a series of very awful hate crimes, but it wasn't technically genocide because the goal was never to eradicate the trolls, because they wanted there to always be, like, a supply, so to speak, that they could eat in order to make themselves happy. So that's
the lore. And it's very important that this distinction exists. And that also, this was very horrible of the Bergens.
Yes. And so that's something that, like, does not get referenced at all in the second movie. They're like, you know, these two characters were not friends. Now they're best friends. End of the movie, they become a couple. And, like, you get this cameo from these two Bergen characters, just, like, for fans of the first movie to kind of chuckle at. You have no idea how much I wish that they had not, like, put a lampshade on the balls joke. It would be so hilarious to me if the very last line of that movie was just Christopher Mintz-Plasse going, "Ah, balls!
Ah, balls!
Ah, balls!"
Cut to black.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then Paris would have complained.
No discussion, no explanation that, oh, he's actually talking about cheese balls that he made for the party. Because it just took me
Mary,
so
you
off
don't
guard
realize
when I watched it the first
that,
time.
That would have given them a PG-13 rating.
It
They're very
might
sensitive
have.
About balls.
They're pushing it in this one as it is.
Oh yeah, can I cutting in real quick? If I had a drink in the theater, I would have spit it out when Bridget said, "I didn't expect both of us to get tied down on our honeymoon."
Yes.
Goodness gracious. If there's any joke I expected the kind of movie Trolls is to make, it was not that.
It was not that. My friends and I, when we saw the advanced screening, Charlie was throwing up when this happened at our screening, but my friends at the advanced screening, we all just looked at each other and I lost my mind. Because, like, listen, it's a DreamWorks movie. They have innuendo in them all the time. Disney movies have innuendo in them
all the
time. They've
been doing it
that
since
is not,
Shrek.
Yeah, that's not really a new thing. But I was not expecting a full-on bondage joke in Trolls Band Together.
No.
This is the
if
whole,
any
maybe the horniest.
DreamWorks film is any semblance like a kids movie,
it's
Trolls.
Trolls.
That's
like,
their
some,
token kids
yeah.
franchise. And, like, every parent in America probably spit out their drink onto their kids when they
I
heard
was,
this
like,
joke.
I was, like, worried that some, like, Moms for Liberty bitch was going to be in the theater and be like,
I never.
This is the if it is not the horniest DreamWorks movie, it is 1000% the horniest Trolls movie. I don't think Trolls 4 can top it. So it's very important that in the second movie, we see trolls being born. We establish how trolls reproduce, and they reproduce. There is no need
via
for a
hair.
Partner. Just an egg hatches from their hair. You don't need to know where the egg comes from.
No,
you can
of
do it
not.
With a partner or not. You can do it by yourself. That implies to me that there is no sex involved. So it's very
M-preg
important.
M-preg is
in
real
this...
in the Trolls universe.
And
you
M-egg.
Are all 5% dumber for having heard me say that.
No, it's M-egg. It's not M-preg. It's M-egg.
Okay. M-egg. Yeah. M-egg. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
I gotta
it's
get the terminology
important.
Correct.
It's so important that the second movie establishes that they do not need sex for reproduction, because the third movie has to establish that they are having sex anyway. It doesn't matter. These trolls are horny as hell. It's not even just Bridget. I mean, Bridget's not a troll, but, like, she's the horniest character in
yeah.
this movie. Because you know what? She's a grown woman.
The Bergens are horny as fuck.
You know why? Because they just got married. They're on their honeymoon. She's like, I'm a grown woman. I'm married. I'm with my husband. I want to fuck. And I say,
yeah.
good for her.
Good for
Go
her.
For it. It, like, cuts back to them a couple of times. They're on their honeymoon. She's just all horned up in a way that you do not expect from a movie like this. And so I just like didn't know how to process it at first. I'm like, all right,
and
I guess
he's
this
almost
kind of
like
movie now.
If he's not reluctantly along for the ride, he's just finding it very hard to keep up with Bridget.
I think he does. But there's also the scene where like they're both tied up and they think they're about to die. And she says, would it be weird if we made out right now? And he says, it would be weird if we wouldn't. It would be weird if we didn't. So he's also
and
horny.
And their idea of making out is just mwah, 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 mwah.
Which, like, if that's what they think making out is, what do you think they think sex is? Because they're super horny,
you
but I don't know
the
if they
lime
know what it
in
is.
The coconut and swirl it all around, Mary. That's what you learn in Bergen school.
That's literally what they're doing in the honeymoon suite, wherever they're going.
That's sex
but, like,
education in
Bergen
school.
But it's not just them, because, like, okay, I was surprised when they released, like, a clip of this movie of the opening medley, and one of the songs in it is Push It by Salt-N-Pepa, which is explicitly about sex. They don't say any of those lines, but, like, that's one of the songs, and I'm like, oh, that seems a little weird. Little did I know it was a pretender of things to come, no pun intended, but very much intended, because everyone in this movie is criminally horny. I want to put them all in horny jail. Stop being horny. Find Jesus. Be horny on your own time. You have important things
Branch
to do here.
Branch isn't all that horny, but he's just not naturally horny.
No one is as horny as Bridget in this movie. I will give you that. But
oh, no, I meant Branch. I said Branch.
You meant
no, I
Branch.
I agree that
said,
Bridget is incredibly horny.
Yes, she is the most horny, but like other characters are also noticeably horny. David Diggs and his giant yarn wife that he made at Joanne Fabrics. They're so
okay,
horny.
Yes.
That's why and they have like 5 kids. They can't stop fucking.
Was Clay the one with the abs?
No, that was David Diggs' character. His name is Bruce. He goes by Bruce now. Yeah. So
nah,
he...
Now nah, the underoos are a little horny. So yeah, Clay was horny.
I don't know if I would say that's horny. It's just kind of... like, oh, we're gonna make underwear jokes and make the kids laugh. Underwear's funny. But
underwear
like, okay,
has been funny for like the past 15 years of kids movies.
Basically, Bruce and his wife, super horny. They don't even know how it works, but they're horny enough that they make it work.
Yeah.
There's literally
reiterate.
A rough...
I don't think Branch is all that horny. I don't think Biddy B is all that horny.
Well, definitely not at the beginning because he's a baby. You know how every boy band has a literal baby? They introduce these characters like, that's the heartthrob, that's the sensitive one, and this one's the baby. You know how every boy band has an actual infant in their lineup? That's the baby. That's him.
And the baby!
And you'd think it was Justin in NSYNC, but nah. Lance is like, I think... Or wait.
Lance was like 16.
Now, Justin is the baby. My bad. For some reason, I always thought Lance was two years younger than Justin. But nah, he's 2 years older.
Really? I thought he was way younger.
Actually.
That's not the point,
Justin's
though.
Justin was 15 and Lance was like 17 when they started the band.
I thought it was the other way around. But that's not the point.
Yeah, me
point
too. Is, that's my confusion.
But like, Branch might not be super horny. Poppy's pretty horny. Hornier than in the other movies. She's not, it's hard to gauge how horny everyone else is because Bridget is so insanely horny. But yeah.
Her and Branch have got young couple energy.
Yeah,
and
they've been dating
always,
for a month.
That always comes with a little horniness.
They're starting to get to the horny phase, yeah. They say in the beginning that it's been a month since the last movie, and like there are a couple of jokes about like, oh, are Poppy and Branch gonna get married? I'm like, I hope not. That would be kind of weird. I know it's a kids movie and they do this all the time, but like this movie feels like it. I like that it fakes you out. It's like, oh, are these characters gonna get married? Psych, of course not. They've been dating for a month. Are you insane? Is really like as DreamWorks and Disney and like kids movies go, they had probably the most realistic progression of a relationship that I've seen in any of these, which is like first movie, they like kind of imply that they might have feelings for each other, but in the end, they're friends, they're best friends. Second movie, they've been friends for a while. They become a couple. Third movie,
Branch thinks
they've
at
been
first
dating.
This is a one sided crush, but nah, they both reciprocated by the end. Or at least make it known that they reciprocate each other.
Yeah.
By the end.
We get the confession. Third movie, they've been dating for a month. They're kind of getting into the groove of this like shift in their relationship.
What did the official synopsis say? Hashtag broppy is a thing?
Yeah. That is their official, unofficial fan ship name that DreamWorks just kind of yoinked.
Well, I mean, it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
It makes the most sense. You wouldn't say Brappy.
That would be weird. That'd be pretty weird. But like Poppy's like a little horny. You know, she does the little growl thing. She is that she's like okay, a little yeah. bit she's a little bit into Bruce. Not like overly, but like Bruce is billed as like the heartthrob of the band, and when she sees him, she's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Would you argue that he aged the best out of the three or out of the five?
Yeah. Floyd, Troy Sivan's character, doesn't look that much different. Clay and well, really just Clay, looks like a completely different person. His entire body shape changed. Like, his head shape changed somehow? Yeah. Or maybe he just, I don't know. It's
and the big hair. And can we talk about Floyd's, his emo swoop? Can we talk emo about swoop. That real quick?
He's the sensitive one. He's got to wear it.
I suppose he does. And somehow his frosted tips are, like, reversed. So they're frosted roots?
Like, no, what's going on with that? I think what happened there is because he was, like, in that little diamond thing, and they were, like, sucking the life out of him, literally.
No, but I think he still has that at the very end of the film.
No, he does, like, but I think
it's... just his hair color.
He does, but I think it's a result of having been in there. I think that's, like, some residual, like, basically the equivalent of a scar.
There's some merit in that. Yeah, like, how scarring, how brutal is it for a troll to have the literal musical life force essence sucked out of them in such a violent way, just so these two teenagers can experience their own facsimile of fame?
Pretty
like,
bad.
That's pretty hardcore for a kid's movie.
I think he's pretty traumatized by this. This is the movie where everyone addresses their trauma. Walt Dorn picked up a troll doll one day, said, "What if this thing had childhood trauma?" and made three movies about it.
Your DreamWorks, you're not supposed to go to the Pixar route.
No, they're doing
nobody
it, though.
Nobody in DreamWorks movies is supposed to have trauma. And yet, what's his name? The Worm is everybody's therapist.
Yeah, Mr. Dinkles had a serious mental health crisis in the second movie. He was full-on suicidal. Seems to have recovered from that and is now helping others in a similar situation. He has become a mental health professional.
Probably good gives pep talks around the pop world.
Yeah, unless you run out the timer.
And he's not network, so
he's out of network.
Probably
yeah.
employed by
your
BetterHelp.
Your insurance will not cover. Probably. that's why he was able to become a therapist within a month. He just signed up with BetterHelp. But yeah, this is the movie where like we address everything that was going on in the first one that probably scarred some people for life, and like if the characters don't go to therapy, they at least admit that they need therapy.
Yeah, definitely.
Because like everybody, like Branch has like abandonment issues because his brothers left him, and like King Pepe had a whole ass daughter that he could not talk about because he was so like consumed with grief, and everybody has just long-standing trauma from the Bergen days, basically. And Viva is like horribly traumatized from being separated from her family and like living in fear of the Bergens ever since, like not knowing if her family was even alive. Okay.
And basically having to run an entire empire of trolls all by herself, separated
which makes
from
sense
the main branch.
She would have been the heir to the throne. They don't reference the fact that Poppy is the queen in this. But like she becomes queen in the first movie, and now we find out she has an older sister. She was probably the heir to the throne, and then it just skipped her because they all thought she was dead, and they all silently agreed not to talk about her, I guess.
Yeah.
Because no one else seems to have mentioned Viva to Poppy. But yeah, so Branch's brothers, like Eric Andre says, like at the beginning, like, "Hey, no, I came back, but there was nobody here," because that was when they were in the troll tree and they all escaped at the beginning of the first movie. He says, like, "There was nobody here. I didn't even know you were alive until I heard about the thing that happened in the second movie." But like, no one has really like an appropriate reaction to that, where Branch is concerned, none of the other brothers really react in a way that you would expect from someone who just found out that their sibling is alive after they were, like, presumed dead. Viva's the only one who has, like, that sort of expected reaction of, like, oh my god, you're alive. Like, I can't believe this.
That is
true. They're just kind of like, oh, hey. Hey, it's you. I know you.
Maybe John Dory's the only one who really had an idea that... And maybe Clay had an idea that maybe their brothers were long gone.
Maybe it never occurred to them, yeah.
Because, I mean, who knows how long Bruce has spent on Vacay Island? That's kind of away from everything.
Yeah, I mean, we know it's been it's 20 years between the prologue and, like, the main events of the movie. But, like, you would still think if you're seeing your baby brother for the first time in 20 years... you're going to have a bigger reaction, and they just don't. And I think it's just that, like,
it's a kid's movie
that, and I think they just maybe weren't thinking about it because they were just so glad to be away from Eric Andre. They all hate him so much. They're like, yeah. He's also away from Eric Andre. He'll be fine. Cause they didn't know. This all started because we said they didn't know that the grandma died. I think because John Dory says, like, oh, I didn't even know you were alive, they might just assume by now that grandma's probably dead. But Clay saying, like, wait, she got eaten is, like, so real to me because he's the middle child of the five and I'm a middle child. My family doesn't tell me shit. I am always the last to know any bit of pertinent information in my family.
Yeah, you're right.
That's just so real. So real. They just you don't see the whatever conversation might happen after that because it cuts to outside where Branch and Poppy are having their own heart to heart. Can you imagine AJ, a couple having problems and, like, talking about them? So bizarre that they do that in this movie, that they have couples who talk about things and like work through
it's
issues.
It's almost like DreamWorks is trying to establish a norm, an expectation for these kids going into their own relationships that is totally unrealistic and just never happens in real life.
It's so strange that they would expect people in serious relationships to talk to each other when they have a problem or a conflict. But I digress.
Let's continue on about how singing killed their grandma and how they didn't know
their
about
grandma.
This.
Singing killed Glozell the grandma. Who apparently spoke in rhyme. I don't know. She has one line in this movie and it's like, come play gin rummy, but I won't let you win because I play for the money. The only thing we hear her say in the first movie is just yelling Branch's name to, like, get his attention. So I like to think that she just always spoke in rhyme. We just didn't hear much of it. Cuss to them outside. But I think, like, the brothers inside are having their own, like, trauma heavy conversation. Like, yeah, so we all knew Grandma was dead. We assumed you knew too, but she's been dead for quite some time. Just has to have this horrible, like, difficult conversation after this blowout fight they all just had.
Yeah, hopefully the topic of John Dory's obsessive, controlling nature was also brought up then, because
it was. I mean, that's what they were fighting about.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, we still don't like you bossing us all around and, like, telling us what to do. Like, this is important. We want to save our brother who's possibly dying. But, like, you're really getting a power trip out of this. And, like, I don't want to see you when this is done. And, like, that's what kind of triggers, like, you know, Branch's abandonment issues. And he's like, all right, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'm going to go do this by myself. We both seem to have so many thoughts.
I was scrolling through the cast list on Wikipedia, and I have to interject this. Not me completely missing that the officiant for Bridget and Gristle's wedding was played by RuPaul.
RuPaul. I forgot RuPaul was in it until I heard that character speak. I'm like, oh, I guess you're just in this scene. Okay.
That is such... That injects, like... That's the reason this movie is so horny, is thanks to RuPaul. Just injecting all of that.
He injected that energy. Well, I mean, yeah. Justin Timberlake is also in it.
Okay, yeah.
Like, you know.
He's a family man now.
He's a family man, but his
music is pretty horny. He's not as horny as he was in 2002.
maybe not, but like Mirrors, when he released the 2020 experience, like he already had a kid. The song Murder is still on that album. That's a pretty horny song. We can go as
hard as you want. Yeah, I love that song.
It's a bop.
That girl was murder.
Yeah. Everybody get down.
It's a party get down. So random.
It's party get down. What is Crimp? What is she?
Scrimp? Crimp. Crimp. I could never figure out if she was named Crimp or Scrimp.
I think it's Crimp.
Because her hair.
Her hair is crimped. I think that's where she gets her name.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Is she just made out of
Mount
crepe paper?
Seems to be like an entirely different planet.
That's what I thought.
Or something like that. That just happens to exist on the same plane that the trolls live in. Because, like, it almost feels like two different movies, if I'm being honest. Like, art-wise, when we go, at least character design-wise, when we go from the trolls and then go to the happenings on Mount Rageous. Like,
yeah, I mean, we got a little bit of that in Trolls World Tour because they're going to, like, other regions. But, like, those are still trolls. They're just, like, they just have design elements based on other genres of music. This one is just, like, other creatures aside from the Bergens. And the Bergens look similar enough to the trolls that, like, okay, sure, they exist, like, right next to each other. These things, like, when I saw,
you know,
when
you've
I was
got
watching,
that lore establishment as well. These just
like, by the way, these exist.
To be, yeah. These creatures just happen to exist and we've never known anything about them until the beginning of this movie.
And we're not going to react to that at all.
No, of course
we're not
going
to react to these things. Because in the second movie, they don't even know that there are other trolls. They have to be told that. But when I saw the trailers for this, like, I thought, oh, those are probably going to be like different planets or something. No, they just drive for like an hour and they're like, okay, we're here on Muppet Sneech Island place. It's like, okay, the ocean is made out of Orbeez. The nachos are made out of glass, stained glass, and like, and Daveed Diggs has giant children.
I want to propose a theory.
Yes.
That this is all some elaborate, like, D&D style roleplay that a bunch of teenage girls are putting together, and this is all taking place in, like, their bedroom. And
oh, this is
got
a preteen girl's
dolls.
Bedroom in the 90s.
Yeah, they've got some troll dolls in one corner of the room. Yeah, they've got these puppet dolls, maybe Sesame Street plushies over in this corner, and a bunch of Orbeez. And then they've got all these Betty Spaghetti dolls in this other corner. And these are our three quadrants of the Trolls universe.
And they're listening to Mr. Boombastic.
Yeah. And they're putting together this story in real time for our enjoyment. This is all just one big actual play.
They are. Good job, girls. We commend you.
Yes, excellent job, girls.
All right, let's talk about the music in this.
Just let me take you to a better place.
You're the resident NSYNC expert. What say you about the music in general, not just the NSYNC of it all?
I actually liked the original songs a lot more in this film than even the second film.
Yeah, I think the soundtracks for these movies just keep getting better. Because I like a couple of songs in the first one, and then I loved the songs in the second one, and then this one just, I don't know, it just does something different. It feels very, it's very clearly influenced by, like, 70s and 80s in a way that, like, wasn't as clear. Like, Justin Timberlake said the soundtrack for the second one was influenced by the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack, which, like, if you listen, you can kind of tell, but they have to, like, you know, tamp that down a bit.
Yeah.
But this one is, like, I'm getting Jackson, I'm getting New Kids on the Block, especially the first song they sing called Perfect. That's very, very New Kids on the Block to me. That sounds very 80s.
There's a little bit of Motown. It's just the whole thing with this kind of funk revival that's been happening lately.
Yeah.
Like, everything sort of sounds a little funky, a little Motown-ish. It's just all coming back, and it's kind of driving this soundtrack in a big way. Like the song that Poppy and Viva sing together.
That's a Takes Two.
I really like that one.
Which I really like that one, but I don't like the bridge because it sounds like they're just exhausted and they don't want to be there. Like, now that we got it all together. Like when I first listened to that before seeing the movie, I thought, like, is that going to be like a gag in the movie? Like they're actually not getting along, but it doesn't seem to be that. So I don't know, it might just be a me thing.
They're into it.
Yeah, they seem to be into it.
That's pretty boy bandy as well. Just
talk.
The chanty kind of kind of bridge or breakdown or something. This is where the crowd sings along, don't you know?
Yep. But like the only song that I would say doesn't do that is Watch Me Work, which is the villain song, essentially, the Andrew Rannells and not Amy Schumer. She doesn't do the singing. It's Brianna Mazzola, I think is her name. Does the singing for Velvet is the girl.
Yeah.
Veneer is Andrew Rannells.
Credited as featured vocalist in the credits.
Yeah. Andrew Rannells, I think, is great in this. They're all pretty good. Andrew Rannells is so funny. And like,
yes.
I thought Ghost just floated away.
Oh my god, that was one of the best gags in the whole movie.
That's the best
like,
line
that delivery
he could possibly have.
Point.
And then Floyd is trying to convince him. And then like Floyd tries to convince him like, hey, your sister treats you like shit. You don't have to put up with that. And he's like, huh? Like he's confused that he doesn't have to accept that treatment from his sister.
I always thought this was how sister-brother relationships worked.
Yeah, well, because what he says
That's how I learned it in Rage's school.
Yeah, because like what Floyd says is like, just because she's your family doesn't mean she gets to treat you like that. And he's like, doesn't it, though? and then like he has his big like he has his change of heart at the end. He makes the confession in public like we're frauds. We kidnapped this troll. We've been using his talent. And like kind of basically stands up to his sister. That's such a funny shot, by the way, when she's like hearing him say all this and just her face just kind of like comes into view like. Y'all can't see what I'm doing, but if you've seen the movie, it's very funny. It's a very funny visual. But he...
Bitch?
Yeah, then they both get handcuffed, and he's like, but I was just saying I had a change of heart. And then Crimp is like, yeah, but you still committed all these crimes. He's like, oh, yeah.
Fair enough. Prison it is.
Yeah, and Clay putting the icing on the cake with the tax evasion. Like,
oh, yeah, Clay's a licensed CPA.
Funny.
Put some respect on his name. I forgot about
that. Put some respect on his name.
Speaking of not big enough reactions, we don't see, I feel like, I know Poppy and Viva's relationship is not the primary conflict of this movie, but it's a pretty big thing to, like, lose a child and then find out, oh, that child's actually okay. In any other movie, I think we would see the reunion. I would guess that that's, like, a deleted scene. They just, like, did not have time for it. And they're like,
yeah, how,
you know, at the end of the day, it's like exactly 90 minutes, basically.
92 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's.
So I think they were just kind of like, okay, if we have to cut something, let's cut this thing that's not part of the like main conflict of the movie.
Yeah.
Let's keep it focused on the brothers, on the characters that we've been following this whole time. So if we're going to have Viva like have this moment with anybody, have it be with Poppy, who we've been following this entire time. We've only seen like kind of bits and pieces of what the dad is up to.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, him popping up suddenly, like, we cut away from...
Yeah, it was kind of like, so...
Poppy and Viva, or
and then the
Clay,
brothers.
It was Clay telling this story to Branch and his brothers, and then we cut back to,
We're cutting between three
King
things,
Peppy.
So... We're cutting between Poppy trying to get these answers out of her sister, saying, like... Because her sister is, like, she's not, like, lying, but she doesn't want to talk about it. She just wants to, like, hang out and have fun and, like, not address any of it, any of the bad stuff.
She's deflecting.
So, yeah, she's deflecting so hard, and she's, like, couching it with humor, which is something that I do a lot. Like, she holds up a Pez dispenser. She's like, we got accidentally separated. Oops, haha. Like that's not a horribly painful, traumatic thing for her to have been through.
Yeah.
And so Poppy's
and
trying
then
to,
we-
like...
actually hear the tea from Clay.
Yeah, so Poppy is like spending this whole movie just trying to get straight answers out of people, basically. Like, she at the beginning of the movie, she like recognizes that Branch is like struggling with something. She's like, hey, you can like tell me about it. Like, don't act like you're fine if you're not. Just like talk to me about it. Like, I'm here for you. And then she's like trying to do the same thing with her sister. Like, hey, like, all, like, I just found out you exist. I just found out I have a sister. I have a lot of questions. Like, what happened? How have you, like, why did our dad never tell me about you? And the conclusion they come to with that is just like, yeah, that's dad. That's what he does. which does track with the second movie where he's, like, trying to keep from them the fact that there are other trolls and he's, like, just does not want to have that
trying to keep from them that the pop trolls were the reason that the six troll tribes separated to begin with.
Well, yeah, but also just the fact that the other tribes exist. But, like, so we're cutting between her trying to get this out of Viva and Viva, like, trying to change the subject to Clay telling the story to his brothers of what really happened. And then we cut from that
cutting to Peppy. To Peppy
talking to someone,
to
someone off screen. And at first I was like, where is he? Is he here?
Yeah, where is he?
Did he follow them? Like, where is he? Who's he talking to? And then, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if he's telling this to a therapist? And it turns out, not only is it a therapist, it's Mr. Dinkles. It's the fucking worm.
Mr. Dinkles is the therapist.
But
voiced by Kevin Michael Richardson, the deepest voice on the planet.
He even says, like, I know I should have told her, but my heart was broken, and, like, what should I do? And then it just cuts to a joke where, like, our time is up. Our session is up. Sorry. He's like, I just revealed a major trauma. And then he just makes his little worm noise.
That little worm noise says a lot.
It does.
Somehow I would argue it's more powerful than Kevin Michael Richardson.
Those are some heavy words. You better mean that if you're going to say it.
Fight me in the comments, internet.
I'll fight you in real life. I was just in Texas. I can go back. I love their kind of dig at Nepo babies, like, not quite Nepo babies, but, like, privileged people who, like, act like they came from nothing. Like, she, like, Amy Schumer's character says,
I loved that. Yeah. We came from the suburbs. Our dad was a dentist.
Well,
were the parents both dentists?
It was reversed. The parents were both dentists, but what she says is, like, do you want to go back to living in squalor with nothing? And it cuts to them doing the Oliver Twist thing of, like, please, sir, I want some more. And then it cuts back to him and he's like, girl, we grew up in the suburbs. Our parents were dentists. And then it cuts to them, like, at the dinner table, and she's just yelling at her parents for asking how her day was, which is, like, so just so true for so many celebrities. It's not even necessarily that, like, their parents are famous and that's the only reason that they're famous. It's just that, like, so many people are famous because they have rich parents and they kind of want to hide that a little bit. Even, like, you know, my queen, Taylor Swift, who I love so much. And she doesn't, like, lie about it. It's just, like, she doesn't. That's not something you want to advertise when you're famous. You want to play it like, no, I just worked really hard. And, like, it's not that they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, these characters don't, very clearly don't. But
yeah. But
yeah,
you know.
It's a more complicated thing. But these characters did absolutely nothing to earn their fame. It's a good song, though. I like Watch Me Work. That's probably the only song on the soundtrack that doesn't have this, like, kind of funk thing.
It's very early 2010s.
Yeah.
In its electronic stylings and also kind of its vapidity.
But yeah.
That really makes it work for these two characters.
Yeah. It's, and, like, generally, like, it's a bop. I'll listen to it all the time.
I'm going to have to listen to it on the soundtrack.
It's that one, Perfect, and Family. Those are the three that I, like, just keep listening to.
Family was a fantastic song as well.
It runs in the family.
By the way, are you truly a boy band once you bring in a girl into the group?
Gender doesn't really mean anything to them. We have men having babies. It's fine. I don't think they're that strict about it. I think it's just a super group now because it's Brozone plus Kismet plus these two girls that they know.
So, like, a standard sized K-pop group.
Pretty much, yeah. in America, we would consider that a super group. Yeah, so Branch has this other, like, part of his past that even
Branch
the audience,
was in another band?
He was in two boy bands, not one, but two. And he says it like they're supposed to know that. He's like, well, you guys didn't think that was the only band I was in. I'm like, when did you have time to be in a band with these guys, though? You were living in a bunker.
Now, that was the moment for all the parents in the audience to just, for their brains to explode.
Yeah, for, like, anybody who didn't know that NSYNC was in this movie to be like, oh, like, they're here, they're really here. Apparently they just go around whistling all the time. I love the gag. I genuinely love the gag where they have a postcard that's completely blank. There's no names on it. There's no writing on it. It just says, wish you were here on the front. And Eric Andre is like, Spruce is the only person I know who talks like that. It's got to be from him. And then it is.
And it turns out that Sunset actually exists. And it even says, like, wish you were here. We just gotta find what's in this picture.
And there's literally, there's like clouds that say, wish you were here right next to it. That's just what that place looks like. Yeah, so clue board, Thunderpants, Hustle Man. I forgot to write down a note to bring up Hustle Man. Let's talk about Hustle Man.
Do the hustle. Oh, yeah. That's that this movie's Yellow Submarine moment.
Basically. So they have, like, you saw it in the trailers, there's a part where they press the hustle button and the hustle starts playing and they go through all these different animation styles. But, like, during the climax of the movie, Poppy and Branch are, like, separated from the rest of the group and they're trying to save all of them. And they, like, press the button.
I
and,
told
like, the,
you it was the Trolls Fast and Furious movie I always wanted.
Yeah, so the big blue genie-looking thing that shows up in that initial sequence comes back, and you hear Poppy say, it's Hustle Man. Hey, drop us off over there, will you? He's like, sure. just the fact that they recognize it. They're on a first-name base with Hustle Man. Wait, is that what he said? I was in the bathroom the second time. Is that what he said?
I know, I don't exactly remember how it went, and it was a stretch of a pun, but that's
what I like to see. That's what I like to see. I love that they just they don't name him at any other point in the movie. They just recognize him like, hey, it's Hustle Man. And okay, the second screening with Charlie, there was a family next to me. I think it was like a woman and like her nieces and nephews, and so the woman was the one sitting next to me, and when they do the joke at the end where, like, you think that Branch is proposing, I kid you not, she gasped. She full on, like, she was so excited. And then she just kind of was like, oh.
Not gonna lie, I was a little bit of that woman during that moment.
Oh,
you
wanted it to be for real? I wouldn't have been that mad, but, like, I think that is what they're playing at, is, like, it's not going to happen in this movie. Maybe the next one.
Maybe the next one.
A year-long time skip. Maybe Trolls 4, more trolls. Too many trolls. So many trolls. Oh, God. So many trolls. What do we do with all these trolls? So that was just very funny to have her have such a visceral reaction to that moment, which I kind of knew it was going to be a fake out. They posted the clip on YouTube. Apparently, if you, like, zoom in the background, Poppy's dad is, like, right behind them, and he, like, reacts kind of the same way. Like, when... like when the punchline hits and it's like, oh, it's actually about this other thing. He's just kind of like, dude,
how dare you play with my emotions like that?
It's not even like,
forget about the times I've played with yours in return.
Forget about all the lies I've told you and all of my people. But
generational trauma I've dumped on you.
Forget about the generational trauma I've just refused to address and therefore raise the next generation to refuse to address, because I think that's where Viva gets it, because she all she ever saw was her dad, like, not saying things, like, because she knows they say, like, oh, why didn't dad tell me about you? That's so dad. So she's like, yeah, dad doesn't talk about things, so I don't have to either. And, like, that's where generational trauma comes from, is you pick that up from your parents who picked it up from their parents. We don't see any grandparents except for dead grandma, but, what was, like, yeah, so, like, the punchline is not, like, Poppy at no point thinks that it's a marriage proposal. She knows that it's, he's asking her to join the band. It turns out that's really what, I thought it was gonna be that he actually was proposing, but he just, like, goes along with it, but it seems like he really was asking that. There was no, at no point did either of them think, oh, we're gonna get engaged in the near future. So,
well, I mean, Poppy's had her whole life for this audition. If everybody knew she was gonna ace it with flying colors. Branch knows she has a great voice, and, I mean, they were dancing together, like, through the first and second movies, and
it only makes sense that she would join them.
She even did a number with them on Vacay Island.
Yeah, he has. That does actually pay off technically with the rule of threes, because, like, she joins them for the boy band medley, and then she's they're all singing Better Place.
She helps them out with the first run of at the climax of the place. Film.
The family harmony version.
The perfect family harmony.
There are like four different versions of and Better then, Place on this soundtrack. Also, okay, so this movie, the reason there were so many advanced screenings in the U.S. is because it was already out in every other market on October 20th. So that's when the soundtrack came out. I apparently had pre-saved it on Spotify, so all the tracks showed up that day, but like I didn't really want to listen to them until I'd seen the movie. So after I saw the movie the first time, I downloaded, you know, the ones that I liked. Then when it officially released in the U.S., they released the soundtrack again, and it saved two more times onto my Spotify. And I was like, where are the ones that I actually downloaded on purpose? When did I pre-save that other version of the soundtrack? When did I never pre-save things? So that just happened, and I had to kind of renegotiate that. But yeah, that does actually pay off with, like, her basically already being in the band, and, like, all the brothers like her, so they might as well. I love that NSYNC is just gets a collective credit during the finale. It's like Anna Kendrick, yeah. Justin Timberlake, Camila Cabello, NSYNC. They don't get individual credits until like the actual credits.
Yeah, the cast list. They're all individually credited in the cast list with their own, and they all have character names too. I love that.
Yeah, the NSYNC trolls all have names. We just don't hear them in the movie. I think Lance Bass troll is like Blaze or something. Oh.
I have it here. Lance is
Isn't one of
Boom.
Them named Boom? Boom!
Boom. Lance is Boom. JC is Hype. Joey Fatone is Ablaze. Ablaze.
Not Blaze, just Ablaze.
Ablaze. And Chris is Tricky.
Why?
Could you tell who was who?
I think they're very visually coded to each one. Like, obviously,
yeah,
you can tell
are.
Lance Bass because he has the rainbow hair, so they're confirmed that his troll Sona is gay. I think Lance Bass also said that himself. He's like, yeah, my troll's gay. That one's gay. I decided. Good for him.
Yeah.
Joey Fatone is the one with, like, the facial hair, right?
Yeah, the red hair. I think he's got an earring in there as well.
Yeah, and then I don't remember what the other two looked like.
Well, I mean, JC has the green hair. There's, I guess, he's the most quote unquote normal, not as explicitly coded as the rest. Chris has the goggles and the pineapple
goggles,
hair.
Yes. Chris Kirkpatrick, Chip Skylark himself. Yes. When that happened, they all, you know, they telegraph it very clearly to the audience that, like, if you don't know what this is, it's a reference to something. Ask your parents. And like they all stand. So, like, you hear the joke in the first trailer of Troye Sivan saying, like, we're not NSYNC, we've gone from boys to men, and now there's only one direction for us to go, the back streets. And very obvious
and
joke.
Then they do it, they also do the same style of
they
pun
bring
at
it
the
back
end,
at the
but
end, yeah.
It's even worse.
It is, because what happens is Troye Sivan, who is doing just a very, not a bad American accent, but part of me wishes he had just been Australian and they never address it. Just one of their brothers is Australian for no reason. But but he says, like, we might not be the new kids on the block anymore, but I love this new addition of us. And then Eric Andre says, like, as long as we're together. And I thought that was a fictional band, but I'll have to look that up. Because I remember when I was making the list for the Boys Crazy episode of, like, fictional boy bands for you to guess what they were from, I feel like I saw Together, but maybe they're referencing the fiction.
Even
the
with
fiction.
Our 98 degrees of separation.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the 98 degrees. I'm so glad that 98 degrees of separation is finally over. And then David Diggs is, like, eating soup, and he says, you guys got to try this menudo. And what I thought the first time was that he was
that
just...
crossed the line for me.
What I thought the first time is that he was just refusing to take part in the joke. They were just, like, zagging instead of zigging. But then I was like, is it a reference? Is it, like, almost a name of something? Are they talking about, like, emanate or something? And then I'm like, no, like, that's so specific. It has to be a reference to some boy band that I haven't heard of. And I look it up. Menudo is a Mexican soup and also a Puerto Rican boy band that has had, like, 60, like, rotating members. My mom knew one of
them
in college.
People age out of Menudo and they bring in somebody else. They're all, like,
you
it's
would
like
think
the
they
Mickey
would
Mouse Club. They're all between 12
and 18.
You think
they would just make a different
18.
Band and call it something else, but they're all Menudo. Ricky Martin was in it at some point. My mom, I think, went on a date with a guy in Menudo. I don't think he was in Menudo at the time, but she was in college. I think, I don't remember if the story was they went on one date or they just knew each other. But she knew, I don't know who it was, and there are like so many people it could have been, except for if it was Ricky Martin, yeah. I think she would remember, but it was somebody who at some point was in Menudo, which has been around since the 70s, I guess. Oh, yeah.
And you know, all the Puerto Rican girls go crazy for Menudo.
You know, anybody who knows what Menudo is was seeing that movie was like, yes, yeah. I know that reference.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, okay. I don't often groan at dad jokes. I love them to death. But at that point, I just had to be like, OK, you can stop now.
But
bring me what I came for. And thank goodness that's when NSYNC makes their arrival. Fashionably late.
All whistling in unison as they do, as they're wont to do.
Yep.
Whistling wherever they go. Very important question that this movie raises. Are the Bee Gees a boy band? I would never have thought of them as a boy band. They're certainly boys in a band.
They're boys in a band, but
does that a boy band
make? I don't know.
Make?
According to our modern idea of boy band, I would probably not call them a boy band.
Because I think once you get to like the 70s,
they're
kind of
hard to... family group.
Once you go back to like the 70s, it's kind of hard to define what a boy band was. Like, we kind of think of the Beatles as a boy band, but then like later on they kind of weren't. And like, do we think of the Rolling Stones as a boy band? Do we think of Dion and the Belmonts as a boy band? And Wikipedia says that New Edition is kind of the first modern boy band, like as we know boy bands.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think that
and
really
plus
started.
They were
this...
like bunch of people who not part of the same family,
yeah,
but they kind of had history with each other. They all grew up in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
They were all brought together as a group and went on to kick some ass and take some names. And yeah, by that same token, I wouldn't consider the Jackson 5 a boy band either.
No?
Nah.
That's fair. Gotta say, the boy band medley,
for
they
one
do.
One thing, two of them played their own instruments.
In New Edition or in the Jacksons?
The Jackson.
Okay. Yeah. So the boy band medley they do, it's Candy Girl by New Edition, which I don't like that song. I don't like it. They don't even sing the right words.
Take,
they make up new words.
I would take Cool It Now, Mr. Telephone Man, over Candy Girl. Yeah.
I think Candy Girl is the only New Edition song I've heard. I've heard Belle Biv DeVoe and I've heard Bobby Brown, but, yeah. So Candy Girl into The Right Stuff by New Kids on the Block. They do the little New Kids on the Block dance, which I don't know how people do that. I don't think I could. Into I Want You Back by NSYNC, not the Jacksons. That's something, because they announced that I Want You Back was going to be a song in this movie, but I was like, but which one? Probably not the Jacksons. But yeah,
I think
then,
we all knew it wasn't going to be the Jacksons version.
Yeah, then it's I Want You Back. I really like the arrangement
into,
of it.
Into the acapella breakdown from Motown Philly.
Into the harmonies from Motown Philly. I really like the arrangement of I Want You Back in the medley and in the trailer, which, like, I was hoping that was going to be more of a thing in the movie, but it wasn't. But it is what it is. So they do Motown Philly, then they do Bro Sounds Back. All right, that's the only part of that song that they do. Then they go into Stayin' Alive. Then they just kind of layer a lot of the songs that they just did, and then they finish with I Want You Back. One time when I was in like middle or high school, I was looking through like old records to like display on my wall, just like the records themselves, the vinyl records to like nail to the wall. But I was looking for like ones that my parents didn't care about that like weren't valuable or anything. And one of them was, it was labeled Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. But I happened to know from reading past the label that it was not the Beatles album. It was the soundtrack to the Bee Gees movie based on the Beatles album. And so I asked my dad,
what?
Like,
that's
hey, can
a thing?
I? Yes, it was a huge flop. Nobody likes it. But I asked my dad, like, hey, can I use this one? He's like, Sgt. Pepper? No. And I'm like, no, it's the Bee Gees. He's like, oh, yeah, go ahead.
I love that he didn't ask, at least how you're telling me, he didn't ask for clarification. He wasn't like, are you sure that's not the Beatles album? He was just like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck the Bee Gees.
Do whatever you want with it.
No
fuck
more Bee Gees. I had never heard of the Bee Gees.
Fuck
heard
their falsetto paved like liquid gold. Is that what Branch said?
He said he had a falsetto made of gold. Not that anybody cared. But he also had breakfast. He had a good breakfast that day. It was avocado toast with two poached eggs and cayenne pepper for a little kick, and it was delightful. Good for him.
Yeah. Somehow I don't expect... That was also one of the moments that kind of took me out of it, because, like, I don't quite expect the trolls to eat, like, normal people food.
Where are they getting avocado toast? But,
yeah.
Yeah. So...
Heaven knows they don't have the money to buy a mortgage.
Do they have money? Do they have currency? I don't know. That's a thing that's not really explored about how their
society works.
We don't... They run on vibes. It's fine. But, what was I gonna say? Okay, so...
All you gotta do is harmonize with them and then you're cool.
Yeah, so I don't know if you have ever been in a wedding party. It usually doesn't go down the way it does at the beginning of this movie, where all the preparations are being done the day of. I mean, setting up, yes, you do the day of.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah. I've been to weddings. I've never been part of a wedding party.
Yeah. So
I've never been on the ins for planning a wedding.
Sort of in the inner workings. Yeah. So
no, I know. I don't know how the sausage is made.
Yeah, so in a lot of TV and movies, you see the bachelor party or the bachelorette party happening the night before the wedding. Most people don't do that because you're all going to be exhausted and hungover, which groom's party is.
Yeah, it's a stupid idea.
Cloud guy has a hangover and throws up rainbows. Gristle seemingly also has a hangover while they're getting him ready. Which, like, okay, sure, the rest of that is pretty par for the course for the groom and groomsmen getting ready. They just kind of put their suits on. They're like, all right, cool. The fact that they're just now deciding what Bridget is going to wear convinces me that they just decided to get married the night before, and they're just throwing this all together as best they can. Because, like...
Hilarious if that's true.
She just wakes up and they're like, all right, what should your dress look like? Here we go. We can do this really quick. Yeah, so...
Bridget phoned Poppy or however the Bergens and the trolls communicate nowadays and was like, okay, this might be crazy, but I just asked Gristle to marry me.
No, I don't think she would concede
where
that.
Do I go from here?
She would concede that it might be crazy. I don't think she said this might be crazy. I think she thinks that's normal. I think she would call her and be like, hey, I'm getting married in the morning. They're like, oh my God, let's go help you get married tomorrow morning. Yeah. Let's do it.
And, you know, like, Poppy, of course, was just like, I got you.
The food is just a potluck. Just everybody brought something, it seems like. There's some setting up happening that seems like it might have taken a while. But, like, I think the decision was made pretty last minute to be like, let's do it tomorrow. And that's why they had the bachelor party the night before, because they didn't have time to, like, plan it and then continue planning the wedding. And that's why they didn't have a reception either, because they go on their honeymoon right after the ceremony. And they don't even care that much that it gets interrupted.
Because
they're just like, they don't even care that much that it, like, gets interrupted. They're just like, can we finish what we were doing now?
They just want to hear the tea.
And then they leave. They do want to hear the tea. She really wants to hear the tea.
Bergens are huge gossip mongers.
I love Bridget's jump in confidence.
They're always down for a tea party.
The last time we saw her. Last time we saw her, she was kind of down on herself and, like, learning to be happy and to, like, be confident. And now she's like, she is that bitch. Because the first movie, like, she sings Hello about having this unrequited crush on the king.
Yeah. And now she's singing Lizzo as she's getting ready
Lizzo's
for her
good
wedding.
As hell into Hello, It's Me He's Looking For. And I'm like, hell yeah, girl. Get it. Get it. Like, JD shows up and she's like, I can't remember all my suitors. I'm like, have you been fucking? Have you been fucking since the last one? Is this just part of your past that we didn't know about? Were you, like, playing the field before you went to work in the castle? Like, it seems like she worked in the castle when she was a kid, but, like, if she's had all these suitors and, like, by what she said has maybe been on a honeymoon before, or maybe she just didn't understand how it worked, I don't know. Either one would not surprise me at this point. I think she's...
You just have to give them some credit. You know, we know they all rushed into this the night before.
They rushed into it because she got super horny and she's like, oh, wait, like, they're not religious or anything. Christmas exists in their world for some reason, but they're not religious. But she is like, well, aren't you supposed to be married before you fuck? Okay, let's get married. Then we can fuck.
I like you. Really, you like me. You want me. I want you. This is so perfect.
I'm mad that there was no girl group representation. I mean, Camila Cabello was in Fifth Harmony, but there was no, like, girl group songs in it. No references to Destiny's Child or what
have you. Red Velvet was too powerful to return.
Red Velvet could not have, the movie itself would have exploded. We can't do C'est La Vie. The movie's horny enough. We can't have that song.
Yeah. We've been recording for like 80 minutes now, and I think we've hit all the big stuff.
We have.
I want to go back because this is one of my favorite, also one of my favorite gags in the movie. When they're confronting Velvet and Veneer on the red carpet, Poppy suspends a moment looking for that really biting word to expose them, and she just settles on you phonies.
Hey everybody, this guy's a phony.
You're a phony.
When they start the chase scene and Amy Schumer's like, you guys didn't think we were just gonna give you a boring old stage show, did you? Because she's trying to like save face, and then somebody's like in another car, they're like,
we're taking it on the road.
No, but what this guy says is just like, that's what we explicitly paid for. And just like, that's something about gags like that where someone is saying something like that with just the biggest smile on their face and like the most joyous tone of voice is like so funny. I feel like that just gets me every time any piece of media does that.
Yeah. I almost feel like that was a big, like, 2010s kind of thing with kids media. And we're still, that's still funny nowadays that they're still doing it in these kids movies.
Oh, what, one more thing I gotta say. Pitched up Justin Timberlake lives in my nightmares. Baby.
Oh yeah.
There's I think it's the director's daughter.
You clearly
daughter.
Have somebody you know, some kid playing Baby Branch.
I think it's the director's
for his
daughter.
Speaking role.
Yeah, so she does.
And then
so she does the voice of Baby Branch, but then when they're singing, it's clearly just Justin Timberlake pitched up and it sounds so strange.
Chipmunked. I wouldn't say it's in my nightmares, but yeah, it made me go, "Okay, they did that."
Pitched up Justin Timberlake isn't real. He can't hurt you. Pitched up Justin Timberlake. Troy Sivan,
and of course,
like,
if they
very
made an AI that sounded like Justin Timberlake did when he was on Mickey Mouse Club, like
that would
have been not okay.
That would have been worse. That would have been so much worse.
That would have been worse.
Yeah. Troy Sivan barely sings in this movie. I feel like people don't know he's in it because, like, well, he's kind of a damsel in distress the whole time. But then, like, the few times he does sing, it feels like, oh, right, we cast a singer for this. Let's have him sing. For 2 seconds.
Yeah, and like, I don't know much about him. Like,
he's Australian, he's gay, and his music.
Is he a TikTok star?
No.
Like, how did he get big?
He might have gotten big on YouTube, I think, because he got big in like the mid 2010s with like, Do You Know Youth?
Maybe. Might have heard it on the radio. That's a big maybe. That's a big maybe for me.
Do you know that song? That's
and another thing on the long list of shit AJ has never heard of. That's my entire personality type on this podcast.
No? Okay. I feel like you might know him if you heard him. But, yeah, he's Australian. He's a gay guy. That means his character's probably gay. I just assume that anyone in this movie with a gay voice actor, the character is also gay. We know that of the Lance Bass troll with the rainbow hair. Oh, yeah, when he says, when Lance Bass troll says, I don't get it, about the NSYNC reference, I just keep thinking, like, how funny it would be if they all just, now that it's been made so abundantly clear that it's NSYNC, they all just look into the camera and be like, we're NSYNC. Lance Bass is just like, I'm Lance Bass. Hi, I'm Lance Bass. We've had a lot of fun here today, but let's get serious for a moment. And when I said that to Charlie, Charlie said, oh, I was hoping they would all just turn and explain it to him. And just like, Lance, do you remember that band we were in like the 2000s? Do you remember? He's like, we were in a band? He just doesn't have object permanence. He forgets everything that isn't currently happening to him.
He just forgot about the podcast he did like 5 years ago.
We were
and
called
then was just
NSYNC.
Like, oh, I did that? I just remember That's me a raising a kid, two kids with my gay husband.
We love that for him. Yeah, so I think that's everything other than the 9 to 5.
Husband.
I would hope he's not your straight husband, because that would be, you would have to have a conversation. But
yeah.
When Okay, so when Spotify like automatically saved the soundtrack to my playlist, I noticed 9 to 5 on it and I was so confused. And then the movie happened and you get like 5 seconds of 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And then like that character can't even get her own song.
She gets to say working 9 to 5 and then that's
and
it.
9 to 5.
By the way, were we robbed of a full version in that movie or not, do you think? I think it can go either way.
In the original 9 to 5?
No. I mean, in this movie.
I think the gag works well enough. Like, it's already a very short song. So, like, you want a fuller version, you go to the musical. All right. So, Charlie threw up. All the boy band references. Andrew Rannells, horny.
Poppy and Branch kissed.
They did kiss. That's
Trolls
like,
kiss.
I don't think that's technically horny. It's just being in a relationship. But it's kind of on that spectrum.
Yeah, but
Branch has a line.
I didn't know trolls kissed to show affection for each other. I mean, kiss. We're used to that.
They get a you and I don't kiss. AJ's talking about people in general.
Yes. We as
for anyone
humans,
confused, yes.
Not necessarily me and Mary.
Yeah, Mary's a lesbian. Mary does not kiss AJ. But yeah.
Plus we are in two different states.
We
so
couldn't if we wanted to.
Our mouths cannot reach that far.
They can't. They just can't. It's physically impossible. I'm sorry, kids. It's not doable. I mean, I hope there aren't kids listening to this. But like,
May
but
J
like,
will
speaking
never
of,
be a thing.
I'm afraid not. But speaking of the horniness, like I forgot to mention, Branch does have a horny line. Because when they're like sneaking into the thing, Poppy says like the HVAC system. He says, "I love the way you say HVAC,"
oh,
and I'm like, "That
yeah.
is horny
okay.
as hell. This boy is horny."
Yeah,
save it for later. There's
Branch
a child
has a horny
present.
Moment. I'll concede that. Branch has a horny moment.
We didn't talk about the Kenan Thompson baby at all, which proves Charlie's theory that the character was not needed in this and was only there to make the kids laugh.
Oh yeah, yeah. Kenan Thompson was Tiny Diamond. Was he Tiny Diamond in Trolls World Tour?
Yeah.
Okay. I had it in my mind that Tiny Diamond was Terry Crews.
I have no idea why you thought that. Terry Crews is not in any of these movies. But yeah, that's Keaton
that's,
and Thompson.
That's just something I'm going to have to live with. But yeah.
They do not address the fact that this baby's stowed away with them and his dad probably doesn't know where he is.
And apparently has a ring pop addiction.
Oh
that
my god,
apparently
I completely
Branch
forgot.
Also had at some point.
I completely forgot to write that down, but Branch is a recovering addict, apparently.
This is a very important topic that we need to discuss. Another example of the rampant trauma that these trolls face.
They are like
drug addiction is a thing.
And look at the fame that Branch achieved at such a young age made him turn to drugs. But he has since recovered. And what we find out in this movie is that ring pops are drugs. I don't know which drugs, but they're drugs. And drugs are good and they make you drive better. Because they save the day at the end. Branch finally takes the drugs and like is better
Branch
at driving
takes a hit
and is
and
able
is like,
to save his brothers that way.
That's good.
I'm like, what are you teaching us? Do drugs and then drive. It'll be great. You won't hurt. You'll save the day if you do
You'll
drugs
save
while
the day.
Driving. Not even before driving, while driving.
While driving, exactly.
There's nothing wrong with driving while you're coked out. I don't know if it's coke. I don't know enough about drugs to say like what drug that was supposed to be.
It's all very vague. Because, I mean, it seems to have no effect on Tiny.
No, he's microdosing.
Branch, who's never taken it in years, probably, just is like, oh,
his body's not
good.
Used to it. Yeah.
It could be weed. It could be a stimulant.
I don't think it's weed because weed doesn't stimulate it. Like it's like a depressant. It's not like a depressant, but like it doesn't like give you energy or anything. It doesn't make you focused. Maybe it's Adderall.
Maybe. But I mean, drugs, of course, had to be a thing, I guess, because how else would they deal with the rampant pink eye epidemic they've got going on?
That's true. Everybody has pink eye.
Yeah, especially on. I wonder how often it happens to that kid, because I feel like that kid came up to Bruce and said it like he's had it before. Like, hey, Dad, I've got pink eye.
Well, that's another thing where like they're way too happy about this thing they should not be happy about. I have
pink
eye.
Pink eye fucking
yes.
sucks. I've not had pink eye, but I hope to never have pink eye.
I think I had it when I was a kid. But it's not great. I love that one kid that just having an existential crisis. Just, I don't see how any government stands a chance. And then he says, like, you're not wrong. And they just run away with their head in their hands.
That's the oldest kid.
It is?
I mean, I feel like that's the oldest kid
right
there.
No, they're just coded. Well, the night after, Charlie and I watched the Powerpuff Girls movie, and I made a joke about Blossom, like, being the oldest. And she's like, they were all born at the same time. I'm like, yeah, but, like, Buttercup has middle child syndrome, and, like, they're clearly, like, coded as, like, Blossom is the oldest, Bubbles is the youngest, Buttercup is the resentful middle child. Not that I would know anything about that.
Yeah.
I think we've covered everything now. Like, there's so much stuff
we've
that I apparently forgot.
As long as the movie is long.
Almost, yeah. What's, am I missing?
Yeah.
Anything at all. Anything. Golf balls. Trauma. Sister. Brother. Children. Parents. Grandparents. Music. Love.
Better
drugs.
Place. Bros.
Oh, yeah. One more thing. When Floyd gets out of the diamond thing, he like immediately turns into chrome? Why?
Oh, yeah.
There's no.
I don't know.
There's
apparently
no explanation for
multiple...
why he even like comes back from that. Like, huh?
I just thought, you know, it's the generic. The power of love saved him.
Everything's chrome in the future, but why does he turn into like solid whatever?
I don't know. I don't quite get it. Like,
is that
when trolls are sad? I guess they're grayscale, or when they lose their music, they're also grayscale.
Yeah,
that was in the first and second movies. So I guess when you die. They establish in the third movie that you turn
into chrome,
jello, or you turn into chrome.
Yeah, everything's chrome.
You
in
turn
the future.
Into clear jello.
Well, I think the grayscale thing comes back with Floyd's hair being different by the end because like color is like such an important thing to them that like when they're like super like depressed or traumatized they lose it. So like he. I don't think it's going to fully come back from having been almost killed, like tortured, basically. I think I think he needs to see Mr. Dinkles.
He does. He's the sensitive one.
He is the sensitive one.
That just comes with his personality.
It's legitimately so cute that Branch, as a baby, is wearing the vest and is just so big. And he's just a little guy. I'm such a sucker for little guys. We got out of the theater. Charlie's like, I don't understand why... You like need to make a podcast about this movie. Like, why do you care so much? I'm like, I don't know. And then later we came to the conclusion. They're like, well, you like pop music and you like animated movies. These are animated movies about pop music. Mystery solved. But I'm also just like so easily manipulated by like little guys. There's a cute little guy in that movie. Oh, there's a cute little family relationship in that movie. Like I referenced that in like the Mario movie trailer from this year when like Mario says like I would do anything for my brother. I made a comment that I was like hell yeah man, and Charlie was like you are so easy to please, and I'm just like yeah I'm Todd Chavez. I like it when people on TV hug each other. And these movies are full
of
that
way too.
And they're just like so like the second time around I was smiling the entire time. I was just having the time of my life. It's not the best movie. Like, there are things, you know, I have critiques of it structurally, but, like, I was having a great fucking time. And I even tried to say, like, well, I don't know if I love it. I like it. But then I just admitted to myself, like, girl, you love these movies. You love these movies. I own the first two on Blu-ray. I will probably buy this one, too. They're just such a good time. Yeah. And I think it's because you can tell that... Like, a critique that Charlie had is that, like, it feels very manufactured, it feels very safe, it feels like it was all devised in these meetings. And, like, there is some element of that in these movies. You can definitely tell there's some of that. But I don't think people realize, like, the crew knows the kind of movie that they're making. And they're just making the best of it, and they're having a lot of fun with it.
They're having a blast.
You can tell that you can tell that they enjoy making these movies, and that comes through, and that makes you enjoy it a little bit more, even if it's not like as good as something like Frozen or Encanto or a Pixar movie. Like it's just fun. It's not like it's easy to kind of write these off as like these cynical cash grabs, which definitely the first one, at least with the marketing, like it definitely looked like that
a little bit.
And, like, there's, again, there's, like, some bit of that because, like, DreamWorks wants to make money. They wouldn't make the sequels if the first one didn't make a ton of money.
They know this is a cash grab.
They know they're going to sell a lot of toys.
This is a cash cow of theirs a bit.
They know they're going to appeal to kids. They know they're going to sell a ton of toys. Not every joke lands. Not everything totally makes sense. But, like, you can tell that they enjoy being on this project. That's, like, the movie Over the Moon that came out a couple years ago. I didn't love it. I didn't think it was, I think the script needed like another pass or two, but I respected it because it never felt cynical. It felt like they genuinely did want to tell the story they were telling about grief and about like this mythology. Like it felt like it came from a very genuine, real place. It didn't feel like they were just like, let's make a movie about a dead parent because every animated movie has a dead parent. And this is, you know, not quite as deep as that, but it's the same principle, you know? They're like, okay, DreamWorks wants us to make a movie based on troll dolls. Let's go fucking crazy. I don't know why they're jukebox musicals. Yeah. I don't, but they're a good time. It's not, and they know the movie isn't for everyone. They know, like like I just said, they know the kind of movie they're making, and they're like, let's just make it. Let's just go all the way with it, and people are gonna like it or they're not.
And, you know, that's probably about as bold as you can be with any real art form. Just make it true to yourself, true to what you want out of it. And if people like it, great. If people don't, that's great, too.
I will confirm later if Together is a real boy band or purely a fictional one.
Yeah, I like to use Anthony Fantano's scoring system when I rate my pieces of media now. So if I was going to give the first Trolls movie a light 7... then I'm going to give the second movie a light to decent 8, and I'm going to give this one a strong 8.
Okay. I give the first movie...
like, you know.
I give the first movie 2.9 trolls out of 5. I give the second movie 3.5 trolls out of 5. I give this one 3.6 trolls out of 5. Actually, maybe 3.4. I might have liked World Tour better.
For me, I definitely liked Band Together more than World Tour, but I like World Tour better than the first one.
It's more cohesive than the first one.
Yeah.
All right.
And, you know, boy bands. That's kind of why I even kept tabs on this movie at all.
I just kept tabs on it because I'm like, I'm all in. I'm all in. I've seen the first two like several times at this point. I'm gonna end up seeing this. Let's do it. And I'm... yeah. So glad that we both had so much to say about it. Like when I said, okay, I'm gonna start recording, you said like, yeah, get recording. And I thought you were gonna say like, oh, I have to be somewhere in like an hour, but what you said was, I have so many thoughts. And I'm like, bitch, me too. So hope you're all having a great holiday season, whatever you're celebrating. See this movie or don't.
Shout out to friend of the podcast and my favorite pirate, Charlie Marlowe. Hope you've recovered well after throwing up.
Our favorite non-binary sensory overload pirate who threw up at Trolls Band Together, the concert experience. Happy everything. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Yeah. If you celebrate it, hope you have a great life. Have a great life. If there's one thing we can learn from these movies, it's just like, enjoy yourself, do the things you like, be who you are, tell the people you love that you love them, do drugs, and drive. Drive while doing drugs all the time. It makes you a better driver. And thank you for listening. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Because I had to get in one more NSYNC reference. Goodbye.
Goodbye. This has been Into the Falls. You can find me at Mabel Page Pines on Twitter and Instagram. That's Mabel, P-A-G-E, Pines. I'm also May Page on YouTube and Film Knife on Medium and WordPress. That's where I post my film reviews and essays, editorials, etc. You can follow the show on Twitter at The Falls Cast, all one word, and Into the Falls Podcast on YouTube. And I will hand it off to AJ.
Well, you'll be happy to know I've made it a little easier nowadays to find me on socials. So if you want, hit me up on Instagram or Tumblr at UncaAJ. That's UNCAAJ. This podcast is hosted and produced by Mary McKeon and AJ Sanchez, and our theme song and some of the music is by Kevin MacLeod. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time, trust no one!
mean? What does it mean? Why is it doing this?
We got these at the Trolls 3 concert experience.
Oh, by the way, before we forget, Branch wants to remind everybody to put your own wristband on before helping others.
Yeah, I took mine off because they made me, the whole experience, the music, the colors, the lights, made me throw up.
I threw up at a West End production of Company.
Cool.
Yeah.